For Brighton's lawyers and 4D doors.
The Summer Breakfast Team. Filling in for me, Vossie, on 1170 SEN.
Thank you, Alana. Yeah, welcome to the program. It is the Summer Brekkie Team. It's Joe and Jimmy. We're here right up until 9 o'clock. I've just opened up all the doors and all the windows down here at Carrying Bar just so the neighbours can try and work out what's going on over here in this house. It's a little bit different. Still coming to you from your from my kitchen to your kitchen, to your car, to where it is. Where do you reckon is the most listened to place? Jo Healy, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Jimmy. Happy Hump Day. It's got to be the car, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think.
I reckon.
Go on.
More and more people walking around with their headphones in, listening.
Yeah, true. And we've got some very consistent listeners too that surely are not driving for 3 hours every morning.
Consistent's one way to describe them. Bloody annoying is another way. Anyway, just on that, send us a text 0457 736 736. Have a go at Joe for saying that. I mean, that's not very nice, Joe. I can't believe you said that. We're here across 1170 SEN in Sydney, SEN track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra through 90.3 FM in Griffith. And, of course, those listening anywhere on this planet, via the SEN app. If you're listening up in Queensland, you're doing it through 10:53 a.m. in Brisbane and 16:20 a.m. on the Gold Coast. You're with us for the next hour. And then, of course, the great Pat and Heels from 6 a.m. Queensland time. We're doing it for Brighton's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call Brighton's Lawyers, the number 1-800-848-848, or visit the website brightons.com.au. And we're doing it for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. That's 4D, for the number D, doors.com.au. You can get us on the McDonald Jones Homes open line, 1300 01 1170. And as I said, you can send us a text 0457 736 736. You might tell us where you're listening. That'll give us an overview about where most people, well, certainly most people who text into the program, listening to. So that might be a little bit of market research that we conduct over the next 3 hours. I can tell you're fascinated by that, Joe. That's going to be so exciting.
We've got
a big show planned. We'll get all the latest from Brett Phillips. Bernard. Anyway, we'll get into that very shortly. BP will have all the latest. And the Sydney Roosters coach is also the director of coaching for French Rugby League, Trent Robinson, who addressed the press conference yesterday in fluent French, thanks very much, after the official announcement that France would host the 2025 Rugby League World Cup. Of course, we've got the 2022 version to go in England before that, but very exciting for French Rugby League supporters and indeed Rugby League supporters around the globe about France hosting in 2025. So all that coming up on the program as well. But we've got to jump into it first up. And go through the issues of the last 24 hours or 21 hours. And oh dear. I'm going to say yesterday, Brett Phillips almost encouraged you and I, Joe Healy, to go, well, maybe there's more to Bernard Tomic. Maybe he has put in the work this time. I think based on what we saw and what we heard, there's less to Bernard Tomic. He has put in less work than previous times.
It's so disappointing, isn't it? He'd told everyone who would care to listen, I suppose, that he was ready and raring to go and you're excited. And BP was saying how he doesn't really have a lot left from his career earnings in the past, and this is his second shot at it, I suppose, yeah, to actually make a name for himself. And then he goes out and, well, goes down in less than an hour, starts being just his disruptive self again, calling to the umpire mid-game, saying, you know, I've got COVID, I'm not feeling well. I'm sure the next 2 days I'll test positive. This is ridiculous. I think he said something along the lines of, if I don't test positive, I'll shout you dinner. Like, just really weird antics when you're meant to be focused on your actual match. It was bizarre.
All right, well, let's have a listen to that exchange between Bernie Tomic and the chair umpire.
For sure, in the next 2 days, I'll test positive. I'm telling you. telling you, I will buy you dinner if I don't test positive in 3 days. Otherwise, you buy me dinner. I cannot believe nobody is getting tested. They're allowing players to come on the court with rapid tests in their room. Come on. To see, yes, no official PCR testing.
So there we go. Coles, Woolworths, and now the Australian Open qualifying short on rapid antigen tests. That's according to Bernard Tomic. So we don't know whether Bernard's got COVID or not. And obviously we hope that he doesn't have it. But how weird in the middle of a qualifying tournament that you start talking about that. You know BP, the great believer? He walked out after 26 minutes yesterday watching Bernard Tomic. Oh, how quickly they change.
It's so bizarre. It screams of sore loser, doesn't it?
Yes.
Which is really disappointing after obviously expecting so much more from him. And if he does have COVID, that sucks. But do your job. And make the most of this opportunity. If you've got COVID, you're not playing the Australian Open, buddy.
Yeah. Exactly right. So there's another one. So give us your thoughts on Bernie Tomic. We had a big discussion leading up to coming on air today. How talented is Bernie Tomic? Could he have been a top 10 player on the planet? And there were twos and fros either way. I think he had that different style of game that made him awkward for other players. I guess we just never know. And that's the unfortunate thing about it. And that's Bernard Tomic's going to wake up one day or not, wake up one day and go, wow, I had all this talent and I wasted it. So that's going to be the frustrating point for him. McDonald Jones open line 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line 0457 736 736. Nick Kyrgios has jumped in and said he's embarrassed to be an Australian athlete after the Novak Djokovic visa debacle. He's blamed the media, of course, who else, for what he considered to be divisive coverage of the matter. So that's all well and good, but now we've got the situation, Joe. Novak, tell me you didn't lie on your immigration form. Tell me you didn't tell a little furphy that said, no, I haven't travelled. However, on your Instagram account, it shows you in Belgrade on Christmas Day and then practising in Spain a week later before flying out to Australia. Tell me you didn't do that, Novak.
So he basically had to declare that he hadn't travelled for 2 weeks prior to coming out to Australia.
Yep.
Maybe after this debacle here in Australia, he might regret having put that down on that form. But yeah, as you were talking about it before, you're the world number one. You're in the spotlight. You can't get away. You can't get away with that anyway. But I think the sentence for this is potentially 12 months in prison.
Wow.
which is crazy. This story is so not done yet.
And that's the other thing, right? Just when I thought, and maybe not for Melburnians, but, they're in the heart of it there. But from my point of view, I'm looking at Novak and just having a little bit of empathy swing back towards him and say, wow, they actually did not enforce the rules appropriately, that border force were a little excessive, that Novak is only doing what Tennis Australia and the Victorian government officials said that he could do. So he's the innocent man in the middle. However, just when that's happening, you go, hang on, you lied? You lied on your immigration? It just swings back the other way and you go, yep, self-entitled brat. That's the problem that he's going to have to. If he does play, the fallout during the course of tennis matches, it'll be far beyond what anything we heard from Bernard Tomic just there and talking to the chair umpire. Poor old Novak will be there saying, "Hey, any chance you can keep this mob quiet?" Because it'll be Novak supporters up against Novak detractors, and it'll certainly be very hard to get a game of tennis going on that one. 12 months jail, as you say. So it's a crazy situation that we'll get an update from Brett Phillips on in the next hour as well. Good news from a tennis point of view, Thanasi Kokkinakis, he's still winning. This is a bloke whose body just falls apart on him, but it's clear that he has talent. It's clear that he's a dedicated athlete. He's just got to get his body to hold together.
So excited for Thanasi playing in his hometown of Adelaide for the last couple of weeks. And he has not just rolled over some random as well. He beat Benoit Paire 6-4, 6-love. For tennis people out there, Benoit Paire is absolutely no pushover. He's been around the circuit for a long time. He's had some big scalps in his career as well. He's a great player. So to see Tanasi putting that kind of a performance together before the Australian Open's really, really exciting.
Big bash last night. Well done, the Sydney Sixers there. Season was sort of teetering a little bit, got themselves back on track. It was against the Renegades. Moses Enriquez, he's so consistent. They got 6 for 150 from their 20 overs. Maybe it wasn't enough. 49 off 35 for Enriquez. Cameron Boyce, where's he been? 2 for 15 off 4. The leggy bowled superbly. And then the Renegades all out for 105. Sean Marsh, the only resistance there. But Benny Dwarshuis, Big Benny, the left armer.
Good on him.
Yeah, 5 for 26 from his four overs. Picked up man of the match honours in that one. That was match 45. Earlier in the day, there was match 27. So this was one of the postponed games. The Scorchers and the Stars. Scorchers 3 for 196. Laurie Evans, that's a name from the late 70s, early 80s. Is this who's Laurie Evans? Anyway, Laurie Evans, 69 off 46. Ashton Turner got runs as well. And then the Stars couldn't go with them, fell well short, 9 for 149. Matt Kelly, 4 for 25. The interesting part about this one, Adam Zampa playing in this game and prior to the game had basically said, look, I'm thinking about pulling the pin on the whole tournament. You know, we know that he's had COVID. We know that a heap of his teammates have had COVID. We know that it's impacted on the Stars' season. But basically, he's come out of a World Cup. He's come directly into a big bash. He's had COVID. He's a bit of a different dude too, Zamps. We actually spoke to him on the afternoon program prior to the BBL. Mm-hmm. And he actually said on that program, it's too long. It goes too long. So he flagged that beforehand. He's got himself a little farm up there on the far north coast of New South Wales. He's a bit of an alternate lifestyle sort of guy, which is, you know, I love that sort of thing. But, gee, when you're talking about to your teammates and to the press about, oh, I'm not handling this so well and I want to pull out, it's not a great sign, Joe.
It's not a good sign for the Stars. But you've got to look after the individual. And the he clearly has come out and said, I'm putting my mental health first regardless. Yep. But he just said that they were flat. And we talked about it Monday. Like he came out and he said, look, I feel like we've kind of been lied to. Like we did not expect any of this to happen. And yes, okay, the tournament organisers wouldn't have expected them to be going into the bubble as well. But he just said the communication's been terrible. He hates the fact that there is this pool of players that are playing for different teams all the time, the integrity of the competition. No wonder he's feeling flat and frustrated and annoyed. And then obviously wins and losses have an impact on how you're feeling and as well. And they are certainly struggling at the moment.
And remember, they were forced to play games when they had 12 players out where the Brisbane Heat immediately got postponement. So you could argue whether that's fair or not. But it's a really interesting point around, hey, I was lied to. Well, I think what you have to accept that this is such an evolving situation. It has relevance for the NRL players, which we'll get to very shortly. Fifth Ashes test coming up in Hobart. It's the pink test. Thanks to Blundstone Boots. Back to work with Blundstones and Toby Price. You can win a VIP Fink Desert Race Adventure. So it looks like Bowler's being put through the medical examination. Scotty Boland, we think he'll be okay. That's a rib injury. He should be fine. Mitchell Starc is being monitored very closely. Concerns he might be running low on gas after that hard slog in Sydney. They say he did a gym session yesterday, training with the team today. If someone walks up to you today, Joe Healy, and says, you okay to play the test match? If you don't say, bloody oath I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloody oath I'm right to play. Of course I want to play. It's a pink ball. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Then I want you out of the squad anyway. You can't tell me that Mitch Starc's not going to be right to play.
Yeah, I'd love to see him out there. He's fascinating to watch. He's one of the best we've ever produced, and especially because of the pink ball format, the fact that it's going to be in Tasmania, it's really exciting. And, okay, the series is done, but it's Test cricket, it's the Ashes. It's still enthralling cricket, and we'll all be watching.
It's the Ashes, as you say. It's a Test match. Now, we know that Mitchell Starc is still got plenty of cricket left in him, but he's closer to the end than he is to the start. And so if I'm him, I'm just putting my hand up. Like, I don't care what Justin Langer and Tony Dottomate are asking me. I'm like, yeah, I'm right to go. Let me play in this test match. So we'll see how that plays out. Crash Craddock reporting that Scotty Boland has had several offers from English County Cricket. Well, of course he has.
How good is that, though? What a story. You still think about it and you go, I can't believe what we've watched and experienced over the last few weeks with him. He probably still wakes up every morning and goes, hang on, am I still dreaming? Did all of that happen?
What does it mean financially for Scotty Boland? I know that's not everything, but he's 32 years of age. So you go, I wonder what it means. Does he just get his test match fee? Does he get now an extra tournament fee for playing a second, possibly third test match? He's been taken out of the BBL. Does he still get his BBL contract? Remember, he's not a centrally contracted player for Australia. Mm. So you just wonder. I hope it means that he's got a little windfall.
Absolutely.
Coming out of the
Ashes. And that's what these contracts from County Cricket will mean for him as well. You know, more money. Yes, he's got a young family, but you take those opportunities, don't you? And hopefully they can travel with him and he can pick up a decent contract over there. Good on him.
Yeah. I wonder what his preferred county is. Like you don't want to go to the north. The north is too cold. Even in summer, just
they got weird south. They got weird accents up there as well. They're hard to understand.
Yeah. All right, lad. All right,
you're right, 30,000 people
expected into Hobart despite COVID concerns down there. So that Ashes test update, thanks to Blundstone Boots, back to work with Blundstones and Toby Price, winner VIP Fink Desert Race Adventure NRL. We talked about this a little bit earlier overnight. The 2025 Rugby League World Cup. Men's, women's, wheelchair and youth. It'll be held across 40 cities throughout the country of France. It's so exciting. We'll speak to Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach and the coaching director of French Rugby League a little bit later on in the program. This was interesting, Joe. The Rugby League Players Association and the NRL have met to discuss protocols that have been put in place by the NRL about keeping their players safe. Every club, from what I understand, every club has been decimated by Omicron already. Pre-season training has been completely restricted. I saw a tweet from Gus Gould last night talking about, well, we're back at pre-season training. There's not many of us here, but we're getting through it. So all clubs impacted. I'd love to know your thoughts. I'd love to know the listeners' thoughts on the increased protocols for rugby league players for the upcoming season.
It's a tough one. I am of the opinion that you almost are okay with it going through the ranks at this stage. Yes, it will impact pre-season, but what you don't want to impact is the season proper. And if all of those players are back, if it takes them an extra couple of weeks to really gel and find their form, so be it.
Yeah.
If this means that the season, unlike the last couple of years, isn't interrupted quite as much, we can have fans at stadiums, all that kind of thing, I'd be so all for it. I'd be encouraging my players to go out and have a beer.
And this is the thing about it at this point too, and that is, what are the restrictions going to be placed? Do you place higher restrictions on the NRL players compared to the rest of society? And that's what the players are there going, well, hang on, didn't I get vaccinated for that? Didn't I do all that the last couple of years? That's what I did it for. And now they're still getting these positives with Omicron, and you and I should know, right? Because we've been positive ourselves. Mm-hmm. So this is a different strain compared to the earlier strains, where the earlier strains were, they just wanted to keep it out. It's too late. It's in. So it's a very different situation. Love to know your thoughts on that. 1300 01 1170, the text line 0457 736 736. Curtis Scott is going to appear in Sutherland local court today. He was arrested last week, charged over domestic violence offences that apparently allegedly occurred in 2018. And his lawyer, Sam Macedone, has criticised the NRL for blocking Scott from signing a contract with Parramatta before his court case. Can't agree with you on that one, Sam. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. James Hurd, he looks like he's back doing some stuff with the GWS Giants. Wow. It's the first time back into the AFL since the Essendon supplement saga back in 2013, 14, 15. He was banned for a year over that. So a bit going on around the globe. But on the back of Bernie Tomic, our man Bernie, wasted potential is our talk topic for today. Wasted potential. You could argue how much potential Bernie had, but you got anyone that had wasted potential, Joe?
Do you know the first person that comes to mind at this point is Ben Simmons?
Oh, very good.
The saga that is still evolving over there in the US. He hasn't played for months on end. Talk about wasted potential that's just sitting there on the sidelines and racking up some serious fines as well.
Absolutely. So it's costing him a fortune and he's trashing his brand and he's not playing the game he supposedly loves. That's a great nomination. I'll say wasted potential. My man Bruce Reed, the left-arm fast bowler from the 80s and the 90s. It wasn't anything to do with application. It was all to do with injury. So that's the type of thing we're looking for. Poor old Bruce, they're holding him together with sticky tape in the end. 1-300-01-1170, the text line 0457-736-736. A break and back with more.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. You're with Joe and Jimmy this morning. We're with you until 9 a.m. in New South Wales. Now, we're asking Jimmy a few things this morning. We've got a bit of market research as to where people listen from every morning. We're talking about Bernie Tomic and his bizarre outburst on the court yesterday. And we're also in line with talking about Bernie Tomic, asking people about wasted potential and athletes that you had so much excitement for and then obviously never reached that. So I don't even know where to start with the text line. Good morning, Jimmy and Joe. I'm listening like I do every morning from work on the golf course. Seriously, you guys get me through the mornings. That's the Greenkeeping Rooster. Hello.
You know what? If you'd have read out the first bit and didn't tell me the name, I could identify that person
now.
I reckon. Yeah,
love that.
Yeah. Give me another one and I'll try and – because my text message line here has gone down here and the techos are
fixing. Has it?
Yeah, okay. Give me another one and I'll try and pick who it is.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on air, but okay. Morning legends, Bernard Tomic is a turd of a bloke. Wasted talent. Who's
Paul
that?
Paul from Huskisson.
That's the reptile.
Oh, reptile. Hey, they're almost interchangeable, those two, really.
No, fair enough. Wasted talent. Dave the Coltrane Taylor, all the potential in the world, questionable attitude to training and off-field stuff. Dazza the Dragon there.
Dazza the Dragon, that's a great nomination. Mm. Oh, he had amazing talent and he physically was just designed for rugby league and it just didn't quite happen for whatever reason. But yes, good nomination. Keep those coming in, 1-300-01-1170. Hey, I want to do a little shout-out. You know, we're saying, oh, Bangladesh, they beat New Zealand. Well, New Zealand flogged them in the second test, absolutely. By an innings and 117 runs, Tom Latham was man of the match with 252, Devin Conway, man of the series, but Ross Taylor.
How nice was the last wicket? It was so good.
112 test matches for New Zealand, 7,683 runs. He's the leading run scorer in the history of test cricket in his country. He did it at a tick under 45. That's elite over a long period of time and finishes up with a test wicket.
It was the scenes were amazing. It was cool seeing the guys get around him and his celebration himself. It was just good to see.
Very, very popular member of the team. He's going to play the white ball games against Australia and then his international career is over. He's had an outstanding career, Ross Taylor, and one of those guys I've loved watching bat over the course of the years. Keep those text messages coming in. We've got the news now. After the news, we've got some breaking news. Joe Healy with some inside knowledge on what's happening with Novak Djokovic. Stick around. Yeah, can you believe it? Thank you, Alana. That's going to start on Friday. We've got the day-night test match. It's historic in many ways. It's the first Ashes test to be played down there at Hobart. It's a second pink ball test match in an Ashes series, so that's significant as well. So it is amazing. And we think that every Australian player is just going to put their hand up to play, right? Because that's certainly what I'd be doing. Mitchell Starc in particular, 1-300-01-1170. Get us on the text line, 0457-736-736. Wasted potential is what we're talking about on the back of Bernie Tomic. So the Pearl from Cowra, previously Port Macquarie, sends in this. Morning, Statler and Waldorf. Do you know who Statler and Waldorf are, Joe?
Nope.
You know the two old guys that used to sit up in the theatre in the Muppet Show?
Oh,
remember those? Those guys were terrible. That's Statler and Waldorf, named after the famous hotels in New York.
There you go. You learn something new every day.
Exactly. It's a learning experience. The listeners are they're our best resource. However, none of it's useful. But anyway, they're our best resource. things that are longer than Bernie Tomic's 23-minute effort yesterday in the Australian Open qualifying, an episode of The Simpsons, waiting for a coffee on a public holiday, Charles's research into his stats. Well done, Bernie. You've made us proud. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. Thank you, Pearl.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, yes. All that. Now, the other one that the reptile put on the back of his text message was Jamal Idris, too. Jamal Idris was one of those guys. He played for Australia before playing for New South Wales, was selected in that Australian side, and for whatever reason, and I think there's many reasons, things didn't play out for Jamal Idris. So there's a good nomination on wasted talent. Here's another one. Morning, Jimmy and Joe. This is our man, the greenkeeping rooster. On wasted potential, Michael Bevan at test match level scored 10,000 plus runs in Shield cricket, but just couldn't get it done at test match level. I was actually reading an article about Michael Bevan yesterday from Shane Lee that he talked about Bev attacks, where he just got so frustrated with himself when he got out and what he'd do to his bat, his helmet, his gloves, his pads. So, but yeah, he made a really good point. He went on a tour of Pakistan and he averaged 60, but it was in the pre-Fox days. No one saw it.
Yeah, there's so much to say about an athlete's mentality and the conversations that you have with yourself in your head. I mean, from a very smaller scale, absolutely had the same kind of thing. I killed it in training. I'd get selected and then match would come along and you'd absolutely just watch me botch it. Just
really?
was in my head quite a lot, yep.
Have you examined why?
Probably a conversation for Will Healy and myself, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Mum.
Hi, Mum.
Hello. Thanks.
No, I'm messing.
All right. And you know what? It always is. No matter what, it always is. Like, you're lying down on the leather couch, Joe. Tell me about your mother.
Yeah.
it's a
love
little
you,
bit
Mom.
Like that. Morning, Will.
Oh, that's funny. There are some quite good ones coming through here. Jimmy, sorry. Good morning. The immortal team of radio was the talent of James Roberts and BJ Luai. Okay.
BJ Leilua. Yeah. James Roberts, BJ Leilua. That's from the reptile again. Yeah. Keep those coming in. Wasted talent.
Sports update this morning, thanks to Kennards Hire. They make your job easy. Talk to someone who has taken the Ken oath today. The Novak Djokovic saga, Jimmy, is obviously ongoing with reports that he now has, it's been found that he declared on his entry form that he'd not travelled 2 weeks prior to coming to Australia. But as investigators do, you go straight to social media. And it's been found that he was in Belgrade. He then went to Spain and then came to Australia. It's just another sign that he's lied, he's deceived immigration, tournament organisers, the public, all that kind of thing. It's really not looking good for him. But there are just some rumblings that perhaps Novak has been given an option to fix, I guess, this situation by removing himself from the Australian Open and leaving the country and making that call himself rather than have the immigration minister tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, you're out of here for the next 3 years. Novak can come back next year openly, forget about anything happened, and potentially that be a solution to the current problem.
Ooh. Interesting. Wow. So Alex Hawke, the immigration minister, I don't know who's been advising Alex. I don't know whether he's come up with this himself, but what he's basically saying is you have the option to take the heat out of the situation here by removing yourself, and then we won't have to ban you for the next couple of years. But if you don't, we will. We'll ban you for 3 years. Wow. I love it.
Mumblings. Nothing, certainly nothing official, but you wouldn't put it past them doing something like that.
you've got to match fire with fire. So you walk in there, the world number one who thinks, you know, I can do whatever I like around the globe. You walk in as the, whether you're doing it as the immigration minister, whoever it is on behalf of the government walks in and says, righto, pal, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are split on the situation anyway. He was probably treated unfairly by being put in detention over the weekend. Didn't deserve that. But equally, the way that he has deceived the public and treated COVID as if it's nothing has really upset people, and especially those in Melbourne who are the ones that are going to be watching him at the Australian Open. They are so frustrated with everything that they've been through with COVID, and then to let somebody waltz in who's unvaccinated, but to have unvaccinated people not be able to go and watch him, it's double standards, right? And so you can fully understand why people are really frustrated. This might just potentially put a full stop on the end of it. And yeah, okay, he doesn't go for his record of Australian Open titles and Grand Slams this year. He only has to wait a couple of months, and we've got the French Open and then Wimbledon and the Australian Open in less than a year's time, just about.
And here's the other thing. By the way, I've got our comms guy here, or girl, and she's going to help you craft your Instagram post, Novak, that'll actually endear you to the sports-loving people of Melbourne, Victoria and Australia. How about we help you with that as well, too? You can put your hand up and say, you know what, I'm so apologetic for the kerfuffle that I've caused. I realise that when I come into countries like this, I must follow the rules as set down by tournament organisers and government officials. As a result of that, I'm wishing everyone all the very best for the Australian Open. May the best player win, and I really look forward to coming here next year. Over Novak Djokovic.
Do you think he's intelligent enough to have those advisors? Because if he did, surely this whole situation would have been avoided.
I know. We're sort of like, we are speaking about a rational individual, right? Or are we not? So that's the problem. I reckon he's highly intelligent. I absolutely think he has the intelligence. But does he subvert the ego long enough to be able to? That's the issue that Novak's got, I reckon. 1300, that is great intel, Joe. Well done on that. 1300-01-1170. The text line 0457-736-736.